You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How to get it right, and we can never give up on that concept. Ryan Harris is always a great guest to talk about just that. Grew up a Creighton Durham Hall grad, played at Notre Dame, played in the NFL, won a world championship, lives in Denver now, and is an articulate young man. And he joins us now. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Max, always great to join you. Always great to join you, my friend.
The first question I have to ask you, because you live in Denver, and I'm sure everybody there knows you from Minnesota. We're feeling the pain here in a big way, as you can imagine, Ryan. But I'm also wondering, because we live in this bubble right now, and I'm almost scared to ask this question, what are the people from the other cities in this country saying about us? What are you hearing when they know you're from Minnesota?
You know, what's strange is, you know, Minnesota's kind of become now miscast as this violent place for people of color. And, and you know, when I think of St. Paul and Minneapolis, you know, the Twin Cities I grew up in, or going down to Blue Earth, where my family owns land in Albert Lea, it's just not that way, you know. So you know, I've gotten a lot of, you know, what's wrong with Minneapolis, what's the deal in Minneapolis, you know? Or, you know, somebody said, you know, is that the difference between Minneapolis and St. Paul? And so it's just strange to see, you know, a city that's shown me so much love, a city that, you know, is so diverse in the Twin Cities, and then the diverse thought, it's tough to kind of have to defend Minnesota, something I've never had to do.
No, you know, that's the way I kind of feel. That's a good way of putting it. I never felt like I had to defend Minnesota, except for a few jokes about how cold it is, you know?
Right.
And then we tell them we prefer it that way, and we got skyways and all this stuff, and we move on and chuckle. But this is serious stuff. How did it strike you when you found out there was another death on Sunday?
Well, I, you know, I really, you know, my heart ached for Dante's family, and I really respected the way that Brooklyn Center's police chief came out.
I did too.
Showed the video right away. I mean, that has never happened.
You know, I want to add something to that too, because he got fired today. He got fired, and I don't think, from where I sit, and I don't know the internals of it, but it looked to me, the way it struck you, he said, we're going to get out in front of this, and I know people, they want to see this, and he showed it, and he gets fired for it, and the BCA, that's not the way we do things. You know what, in lots of respects, Ryan, and I'll get your opinion on this, I think it was the best thing that could happen. At least we know what we're working with, right? There's no mystery.
No police chief took on the responsibility and accountability like Tim Gannon did on Monday.
Yes.
And in the same way that, I mean, I think it's unfair that showing that courage, explaining in front of a tough crowd. Mike, you and I are both in broadcasting. When we want to get after a coach, that, you know, you know, God help that coach, right? I mean, you couldn't have had a tougher crowd. And yet, as unfair as Tim Gannon stepping down and resigning has been, that is the constant chorus of minorities across this country. And so there is no, I understand a lack of empathy for the unfairness for Chief Tim Gannon, you know, resigning or being fired, however that went down, because, you know, Dante Wright did not, you know, it is unfair that he is dead, even
absolutely
though it was explained, you know. So I think this is one of those situations where, you know, was there accountability? Absolutely. Was there transparency? In my opinion, the best that we've seen out of any police department, and handled the right way. Is it unfair that Tim Gannon resigned? Yes. Is it unfair that Dante Wright is dead? Absolutely. So there's just a myriad of unfairness, and this will continue until we look at each other and say enough.
We are engulfed, for obvious reasons, with the Chauvin trial. Does it feel that way to you in Denver as well, or are we consumed by it because we're right here?
I can tell you that every person of color that I know is very closely watching the Derek Chauvin trial. And this, you know, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Trayvon Martin, especially for me, I mean, I was that kid. You know, anybody who grew up in St. Paul has been down Fairview Avenue. I went to Super America in a hoodie, you know what I'm saying, to get some Sprite in a Snickers bar, probably why I'm a lineman. but, you know, this is a threshold moment for our country in terms of justice. And for me, someone who's just starting the month of Ramadan, you know, we are a country that has separated church and state. And for those of us who have faith, you know, God's love comes to our citizens through justice. And if we are denied justice as a citizen, as a people, we're really denying, you know, the love that God has for us and wants us to have for each other. And that's what's on trial. And it's unfortunate that's in the name of Derek Chauvin, but that's what's on trial. And I got to be honest, Mike, I don't understand for the life of me how a video of George Floyd's past arrest made it onto the trial today. But it is very closely watched. It is tightly discussed by white and black people I know all across this country.
I don't want to say the smart guys, but the guys that we have on that are lawyers say that it's not a question of whether he'll be convicted. The question is how long will he go to jail, to prison. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, when we talk about justice, this is where it gets vague to me a little bit. What is justice in this case? What do you have a much different idea than other people of color, so in terms of years and what would constitute it, or is there consistency there? What do you see?
You know, I'm glad you had lawyers on, and I will tell you though, the assumption that he will get convicted is not there for people of color.
Really?
It's just
they've been down these roads before, kind of thing?
Are you kidding me? I mean, Tamir Rice, I mean, we could go through the names, you know, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice. How about what just happened in Virginia, where a serving lieutenant in our military in a new truck gets pulled over with guns drawn on him, pepper spray? I mean, what are we talking about? You know, you tell me, Mike, how could a person of color believe and assume that justice will happen in this case? How could they?
Yeah, I see. This is the first time that I've watched one of these cases closely. You know what I mean? Except for O.J. Simpson back many, many years ago.
Right.
And as I watch this case, and part of it probably is because I listened to the attorneys, but I go, because they point out things and they say, now, Chauvin, they don't think will testify, and they thought that was the only hope that they might have, was that he could somehow sell himself to a jury. Now, nobody's heard him speak yet, so nobody even knows what his personality is like. But as I watched it, you keep saying, ooh, he doesn't have anything to stand on. That's the way it strikes me. But you're saying you throw all that out the window based on, because you've watched these cases more closely and you've seen you've had those same reactions, and then the final verdict hasn't equated.
Yeah, I mean, a 12-year-old in Cleveland has passed, you know, because officers arrived on scene and shot him. My own nephew down the street on Halloween had police, you know, pull him over, even though he was walking in his Halloween costume, and drew their guns on him because they demanded to know who he was and where he was going. It was three houses away from my house. And all of this, too, Mike, we are missing the opportunity to say, I guarantee you, Derek Chauvin deeply regrets his actions. I guarantee you, the police officer in Brooklyn Center, Sunday, deeply regrets her actions. What do we want to do with people who have broken the law in our society who regret their actions? What can we do? What opportunity do we have to reimagine what punishment looks like if it's consistent? And this is why, when we have these situations and we dwell on the facts, or we say, hey, you know, this could happen, but that couldn't happen, or, you know, this is how they were trained, or that's not how they were trained, we're missing the point of the opportunity in front of us to say, Derek Chauvin, whether or not he's going to get sent to jail. Forget the time. What do we want him to come out? How do we want him to come out? How do we want him to leave prison if he is to leave prison? Because there are a lot of people in jail right now who deeply regret their actions and want to make amends with society. We have to create that pathway for people in our community who have made mistakes.
And there sometimes is value there in those human beings. If they can explain to us, if they can help prevent, if they can tell us where they went wrong or what they did or why they did or whatever, there's some teaching tools there. I'm a big believer, as you are, Ryan, that we are called upon. Our faces are different, and yet they're so similar, that we are called upon to find to move forward all the time until the day that we go, because we're only here for a short time, and we're supposed to somehow try to get better all the time. How do you think we've gotten better in the last year through everything that we've seen?
I really believe we're better at believing one another, you know?
You mean it finally resonates with some?
It's not, because the original refrain was always, you know, you want to talk about police on black killing, but what about black on black crime? Well, you know, regular black people aren't paid to protect and serve. You know what I'm saying? Like, regular citizens aren't paid to do a job. So that's kind of gone away. And in my conversations, in our conversations, you know, that we recognize this is real. And I love what you said to open it. Hey, we got to face this. This is happening. We can't ignore it. And unfortunately for the Twin Cities, this has been just a double impact.
Ryan,
it's different when it's in Alabama or Chicago.
It is so much different, you know? I walked out yesterday, there's Humvees on both street corners right adjacent to my office, and squad cars on both. And you know, you expect to see it. And then you go, how far have we gone that I expect to see this in downtown Minneapolis, you know?
Right, you're right. And I don't know if you had the chance to go down to any of the peaceful protests during the summer, but I can tell you from going down to the Denver protests, that these were, what amazed me, this is people of all colors are saying enough. People of all colors, all religions are saying this is inconsistent with what we're taught in church on Sundays and synagogue on Saturdays and the mosques on Friday. We are being inconsistent to each other. And just one quick story, like you mentioned, you know, rehabilitating someone. Check out the story of Aaron Showtime Taylor. He's a PA announcer who's going to do a couple of the games for the Golden State Warriors. He was actually shot in the face while attempting a robbery. And when they asked him about his opportunity, he said, I want to take this time to first apologize to the victims and advocate for victims of violence. And here's a man who's going to live his dream of speaking on a PA during an NBA basketball game, somebody who was rehabilitated in our criminal justice system. I mean, these are the examples we need to highlight to reimagine what's possible for Derek Chauvin's, for officers who transgress, and for citizens who transgress.
I was at the protests all, I ended up covering them all in the summertime and saw it, you know, it changed my life forever for a lot of different reasons. And I don't have time to go into it all right now. But you were right. What changed was the demographics of the people that were protesting.
Yeah,
and it changed,
the belief, you know,
drastically. And the other part that you never want to miss is that 90-some% of these people are peaceful protesters, and they're not looking for trouble. They're there because they believe in something, and I think it's incredibly important that we discern between that and looting and some of the things that happen with it.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing justifies looting. And I will not also differentiate between the looting of life and the looting of property, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can't do that either as a community. We cannot say, hey, we are absolutely against looting stores. And, oh, by the way, George Floyd was on drugs. That's what killed him. You know, don't resist. He's in handcuffs. How can you resist? You know, and by the way, have you seen a single video of anybody getting hauled off of a plane without wearing a mask. I mean, these people are resisting like crazy, you know? So absolutely, nothing justifies looting. Nothing justifies looting of property, and nothing justifies the looting of life that, that communities have seen, you know, across our nation and in the Twin Cities.
We got a lot of days ahead of us, Ryan, so I hope we can tap into you frequently, because I got a feeling we're in for a, I hate to say it, but then, you know, with all the trials coming up, not just Chauvin, but now and the three other accomplices, we got a lot of things that we're going to have to figure out over the next few months, and I hope we can tap into you for conversations like this.
Hey, speak to people with love and peace and curiosity to seek understanding, and that will get us closer to where we need to be.
Well put, my friend. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Ryan Harris.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.